If you have your Bibles with you this evening, I would ask you to turn in them with me to Isaiah chapter 11. And for our text, we'll be using Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 through 10. Will you please follow along as I read out loud to you? There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. The previous chapter closes with these words: Behold, the Lord of hosts, will lop off the bough with terror. Those of high stature will be cut down, and the haughty will be humbled. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. The great house of Jesse, who was King David's father, had been by this time reduced to a stump. Where there was once such optimism and a feeling of holding the world by the tail amongst the Jewish people, there was now only sadness and even despair. All their bright hopes had vanished. All the visions and dreams of the nation of Israel rising to a state of prominence that rivaled ancient Egypt or ancient Persia had come to nothing. They'd been poured out on the ground. They were destroyed. The mighty tree, which had once represented the kingdom of David, had been cut down as if by the woodsman's axe. Where once there was this incredible tree that was so magnificent that it changed the whole of the surrounding landscape, there was now only barrenness. And where there was once beauty and refreshment for the whole land, the land was now scarred and thirsty. And it was precisely in the midst of that barren, scarred, and thirsty land that God made the pronouncement through the prophet Isaiah that there would come forth a rod from the stump of Jesse, and a branch would grow out of its roots, and that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Before David had been selected out of Jesse's house to succeed Saul on the throne over Israel, Jesse was only a humble farmer. He was not amongst the society's elite. He was a farmer and a sheep rancher. And in this prophecy, now we see that it appears that his house had sunk even lower than its humble beginnings. And it was to this impoverished line of Jews that the prophecy came, the promise that out of Jesse's stump, a branch would grow that would become so prominent that not only would it beautify the landscape of the nation of Israel, bringing refreshment to the people of Jesse's race, but to the whole world. And And it is in fulfillment of this prophecy that we are here this evening celebrating this time of year that Jesus, the Messiah, came to earth in fulfillment of this prophecy to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward all men with whom He is well pleased. And perhaps it is, dear ones, with you this evening that you find yourselves in a humble and even a downcast condition. And all I can say to you is take courage, for you are in good company. You are in company with that league of men and women to whom God is pleased to show His mercy. It is not to the arrogant and the proud that God comforts and cheers with the gospel. It is with those who have been brought low, those who have felt the bitter weight of sin in their lives, that God comes with the gospel of peace. And if you are here this evening and you have never come to admit the weight and burden of your own sin, then, dear ones, the gospel is of no effect to you. You will die in your sin. You must first come to see the awfulness, the horror of your sin. You must first come to see the effects of the sinful choices that you have made. And you must repent and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that times of healing and refreshment may come in. In our passage this evening, Isaiah the prophet describes the coming kingdom and the reign of the rod from the stem of Jesse as being even more glorious than was the reign of King David. Although David's reign was glorious in that it was the best reign of any of the Jewish kings, and the Jewish people surely did prosper and flourish more under his reign than under any other Jewish king, the reign of this promised one, this one whom Isaiah is prophesying about, is even more glorious. His glory surpasses David's in the brightness of its glory. And though David was certainly a just king in whom was the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, this coming king out of the stem, the stump of Jesse, is promised to be an even greater king with greater justice, because there would be greater fear of God under his reign. And he would rule with greater knowledge, and the citizens of his kingdom would be greater in number, because instead of coming only from the one nation, the tribe of Jesse, they would come from every language and people and tribe and nation. And of course, the object of this prophecy is the promised Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was upon him that the Spirit of the Lord descended, and therewith all the gifts of the Spirit. At his baptism in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit took up perpetual residence with the Messiah, so that Jesus demonstrated the infinite wisdom and understanding of the Almighty God. And so he became, in fulfillment again of this prophecy, the wisest counselor as well as the mightiest ruler to ever walk the earth. Men have one gift of the Spirit or another gift of the Spirit, but Christ had all of the gifts of the Spirit. With men, those gifts of the Spirit may not be permanent gifts, or they may not always be as strong at one time as they are at another. But not so with Christ, who once having received them, they grew steadily in might and in demonstration, so that people marveled at his words. And it is because this branch that grows from Jesse's stem is such a ruler as this, that our faith is able to have a resting place. All human rulers let us down. Whenever we trust in a man, we are destined to be disappointed to some degree, because all men are fallen creatures. As it has been said, the best of men are only men at best. But this promised one from the stem of Jesse will be one who will judge the poor with righteousness and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. In every generation of men, it's true that the poor are treated differently than the rich. The poor in a court of law are treated very differently than the rich. When you cannot afford an expensive lawyer to represent you, it is almost a given that you will not get the full attention of the trial judge or the sympathy of the jury. And consequently, when the judgment is handed down and the verdict is read, you'll come out holding the short end of the stick, because that old adage that money talks is true more often than it is not. But when the promised branch from Jesse's stem comes, he will stand up for the poor and the oppressed who have been taken advantage of by the rich. And granted, it may not always be that you receive your fair share in this life. But one thing you can rest assured of, not one thing has been withheld from you in this life for the sake of the gospel, but that it will be restored to you many times over in the life that is to come. And no matter how old or young you are, remember that this life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. But Jesus did say to Peter, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present life and in the one to come eternal life." And then we also see the promise that is made to this kingdom, this rod that will branch forth from the stem of Jesse, that the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie with the goat, and the calf with the lion, and a child shall lead them all. And this is speaking of the effect of the reign of the gospel, and that it makes brutal men who are as bloodthirsty as a lion or a leopard to become as meek as a lamb and as gentle as a little child. And they shall not hurt or destroy in all of God's holy mountain. That mountain which, as we read here, represents the knowledge of God, which will come to cover the face of the earth like the waters cover the face of the sea. We just sung in hymn 157, that hymn, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," the last stanza, "For lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold." This is speaking of the gospel era. It is speaking of the fulfillment of this prophecy. That day when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling. What ancient splendors? The ancient splendors that Adam and Eve enjoyed in that untainted existence in the garden. When the beauty of Eden will be restored, dear ones, by the victory of the gospel. And the whole world will give back the song which now the angels sing. There will be that restoration where we will join with that multitude of the heavenly hosts that appear to the angels in Luke 2, and we will sing with them, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill toward men with whom He is well pleased." One of the effects of sin is that it has made men brutal and savage. Even when men become civilized and respectable, their sin still inclines them toward savagery. so that they are hateful people who bite and devour. They destroy their neighbors in their hearts, though they would never think of doing it outwardly because that's socially unacceptable. You might work in an office setting where everyone dresses the part of the consummate professional. But yet there is so much bitterness and enmity pent up in the heart of the unbeliever that you know better than to trust anyone, because you know that as soon as they are out of your field of vision or out of your hearing, that they are brutal people inclined to cut one another down. And so you have this basic suspicion and distrust of people that makes people to just take for granted that everyone is untrustworthy. And there is some shred of truth to that, to be sure, in every man, but most certainly in those who have not felt the conquest of the gospel in their own personal lives. But the effect of the gospel is that it reverses the effects of sin. Brutal men and women become kind and gentle. They become trustworthy and willing to trust, so that it is as if a weaned child could put his hand into the very den of the viper. Because there is no fear of danger. There is no reason for innocence or naivety to be lost. And this is the age that is coming, surely, loved ones, because the prophet of God has foretold it. It's coming. And then we also see in our text that this lowly branch that shall spring out of the stem of Jesse shall come to stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentile shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. That is to say, this lowly branch, this branch that starts by growing out of the stump of Jesse, shall come to grow to such immense proportions that it will be as a banner that is lifted up in the sight of all of the nations of the world. And the effect it will have is that all of the nations of the world who have been at enmity with one another shall gather themselves together as if by some divine instinct through faith in the gospel. And they will become like a grand army who gathers around this banner, around this flag, and with one accord they will mount a battle against their former spiritual enemies, which are the devil and his angels and all those who would deny that Jesus is the Christ. And then it will be, loved ones, that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ.